our special guest. He was a two-time All-Mountain West Conference selection, a Defensive Player of the Year. He finished with a 44-1 home record, all-time best at BYU, won two Mountain West Conference championships. He is the man, the myth, the legend, also the founder of Sunshine Heroes. Travis Hansen on with us here at Cougar Sports. What's up, buddy?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, man, we know you're busy, so we appreciate you hopping on with us. Number one, how you living, man? What you doing to stay busy? Give Cougar fans an update.
Oh, you know, the typical thing a washed-up basketball player does, you know. I don't know. I'm just trying to stay busy. I got four.
So pretty much washed-up basketball player. You went skiing this morning for spring skiing with maybe some family, some friends. You got into the hot tub with your soulmate and relaxed, maybe ate some shrimp, some lobster. Is that what you did today?
Yeah, a little chips and salsa. Went and played some paintball afterwards.
Nice.
Yeah. Shot Jake Schultz in the butt a few times, a couple guys.
Are you serious? Did you see Jake Schultz today?
No, but he keeps calling me out that I'm not playing basketball. He's trying to get me playing some of these leagues, and I keep telling him he's too fat and I don't want to play anymore, and so we should go play paintball or something fun.
You know the reason why he's trying to get you. Number one, he still thinks he's good. Number two, it's because there's another team out there with, like, Mekelle Wesley, and they get to the championship game every single year. So it's typically, you know, Jake and a couple of his brothers. There's a bunch of former Utah State and BYU basketball players in this league, and Jake keeps on getting to the championship, and I think they keep losing. So you could be the key addition in the offseason.
Yeah, I've kind of gotten you know, these rules placed on me by my wife that I'm not allowed to get arrested or to get in fights anymore. So I try to stay out of environments.
You should just create a contract, man. Put some incentives in it. You know, like for, you know, every 20 points or, you know, double double triple double, you get some food. You get a double double from In-N-Out. You know, put some things like that in there.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
I'll
stick to skiing in the hot tub.
Yeah, it's all good. Wifey rules. Travis Hansen on with us here. He's also been called Elder 8 Mile in the past, back in the day, back at BYU. We haven't chatted since the big, the massive win versus Gonzaga. Did they surprise you with that win, or did they just do what they were supposed to do, Travis?
Oh, my gosh. They surprised everybody with that win. Are you kidding me? Going in the kennel and winning, beating the number three team, had a really long streak. I mean, it was fun, so fun to watch, because every single player on the team played well, except really for Tyler, right? And mm-hmm. so it was just a really good team win. I think Corbin Kafusi played unbelievable defense. Hallford was on fire. Fisher was on fire. It was the most united that I've seen the team play. And, you know, their backs were against the wall. And, man, you get to see that these kids are fighters and didn't want to go out, you know, especially going to NIT, that they needed that game to go to NCAAs. And then also it was fun to see them win that type of game in that type of environment, because those types of experiences or memories catapult you, especially your confidence and as a team, and for future opportunities to win even bigger games. And so it was a huge moment for the season, for Rose, for everybody, and they gotta, you know, it's not worth much if they don't win tonight, though.
Mm-hmm.
Travis, what do you think the biggest thing that stuck out to you during that game and why they were able to come away with that W?
Their confidence, you know, how extremely aggressive they were, and, you know, it's really hard to teach a team to really believe in each other and to believe that they're better than they are. Coach Rose is so good at getting you to believe that, you know, he would say it over and over again. He'd say, you know, Jake Schultz is the best four man in the league. You know, Tyler Haws is the best shooting guard in America. And nobody has a guy like Skylar Hallford coming off the bench. And so when he talks like that, the players believe it, because they say, hey, if Coach Rose believes that, obviously it's got to be true, right? And so his ability to get his guys to believe in their abilities and their teammates' abilities, and to believe that they're better than Gonzaga, and to believe that they can go into the kennel and win. I mean, you could see it from the very offset that they really believed that they could win. They you know, were so aggressive defensively, offensively. They were quicker to the ball. They had amazing energy. it was a really fun game to watch.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because I look back at some of their big wins, and I would say dominating wins throughout the season, and they had that characteristic. They were very aggressive, you know, especially on the defensive end, grabbing boards. But how does a team stay aggressive? I mean, you look at that game and compared to the game over the weekend, and maybe just the intensity level is off. So, I mean, how difficult is that for a coach to constantly preach that guys need to be aggressive and, I guess, like you said, make them believe?
You know, it's really tough. It's tough to get guys to believe in their roles, you know, whether they're starting and shooting, you know, 15 shots a game or coming off the bench and as a role player and just getting, you know, I need 5 defensive rebounds for you, and getting guys to accept the role. And then also getting guys to believe in their abilities, you know, before the game, to not think, oh, crap, these guys are bigger and stronger and quicker, but, man, maybe we'll get lucky. But to actually go in there and believe that, hey, you know, we're just as good as those guys, or even better. And if we play our game, we can win. And then the energy level, I thought their energy level against Gonzaga was the best I've seen it all year long. And to be able to be so quick and so fast and the first to the ball and to attack the rim like they did, and I mean, I don't know what they had in their drink or what they ate before, but you could bottle that up and give it to every team. That was because the marginal victories nowadays, teams are so good and the strategies are so impressive and coaches are great that the margin of victory is so slim nowadays. Usually it comes down to getting to the free throw line, right? Usually it comes down to, you know, who got their best player, who got, you know, strategically the team's, you know, opponent in foul trouble, and then got to the free throw line, and then got to the one-on-one. And BYU was just able to attack them on all sides. I mean, you could see that Coach Few from Gonzaga went big, went small, tried every lineup, and nothing was working because even Kafuzi was just going to work. I mean, we got a few calls that really helped us, but again, that energy, and when you're playing so aggressively, I think you get rewarded. You know, I think the gods reward you, the refs reward you. And so if they could come out and play with that type of energy every game, oh my gosh, I think sky's the limit for those guys.
Travis, compare the teams that you played on to this current squad. Answer me this. Is this a tournament team, okay, compared to the tournament teams that you played with as you're comparing talent? And, you know, how do you feel about your confidence in this particular team going into the tournament?
Well, if you would have asked me that, you know, a month or two ago, I would have said, no, you know, they're an NIT team, they're a band of misfits, but they're guys that work hard and are good guys, but there's, you know, 3 or 4 guys that probably, you know, over due process won't be on the team. But if you ask me, you know, today, I'd say absolutely they're a tournament team. And who has a record and an RPI and has won games that they've won compared, you know, other top 64 teams that are as good as BYU? You know, who's that entertaining to watch? I mean, they have, you know, a bunch of guys that aren't the most athletic in the world. There aren't ACC, you know, athletic guys, but they score as many points as they do, and they get out on the break and they play as aggressive as they have been. I mean, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, they're a tournament team. And it's been fun to see their progression throughout the season and their confidence build. And I think Gonzaga was the peak point of that. I hope it's not, you know, the peak of the whole season. I hope they have a few more games to come where they can play like they just did.
Travis Hanson, former BYU great, on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. I have one gripe about the last two games that BYU has played, and it seems like in the end of final 5 minutes, BYU has a lead, and it seems like in those waning moments of the game, the situational strategy, not knowing what they want, they're a little bit befuddled and confused about how to get a shot that they like, both in the Gonzaga and the Santa Clara game. What is that a product of, Travis?
You know, I didn't really see that. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, there's some miscommunication and you know, depending on different things that are happening in game, different possessions or different things. But, you know, obviously communication on the floor is a hard thing. And it takes time, and it takes sometimes years and years of playing together. You know what BYU did against Gonzaga? They played like they were supposed to win. And Gonzaga kind of did too, but at the very end, you know, I think they dropped off. But you know, playing those teams throughout, whether it's football or any other sport, and you go in and you're so pumped up to play and you think you can win, but that other team just knows they're going to win. They know they're going to make the plays when they're needed. They know they're going to get to the free throw line. They know they're going to, you know, when they really need it, they're going to give it to Tony Parker, and he's going to do a spin move, and he's going to get fouled. And he's going to give it to Ginobili, and he's going to make an awkward Euro move. It looks like he gets fouled, and he's going to score. I mean, BYU had that against Gonzaga. They were clicking on all cylinders, and that's hard to do. I mean, I think the Spurs have been the only team I've seen for years and years and years that could do it consistently. And they did it throughout the whole finals, the whole playoffs. It'd be fun to see BYU be able to do that throughout this tournament and then going into the NCAAs. That consistency is super tough. I mean, look at Steph Curry. His shot is the same every single time. It's one fluid motion, and that's why he's able to make such a high percentage. And so to be able to get that consistent energy and that consistent effort from every single person on the team, if you were able to do that, I think that's the peak. That's what you're working for as a coach. And it was fun to see Coach Rose, you know, after all season long, achieve that in one of the biggest games of the year and one of the hardest places to play in basketball. You know, he saw everybody clicking, and that's what I think most coaches work towards, and very few achieve throughout their careers and even throughout the season.
Do you see any similarities in your style of play compared to a guy like Kyle Collinsworth? And even some differences. Both of you guys are pretty much triple-double machines. You went away. I think in college you became more of a scorer than necessarily always facilitating and dishing, but you were a triple-double machine at some points in your career. What similarities do you see with you and Kyle?
You know, we're both big guards. We're both strong and mismatch problems for the opponents. I mean, Kyle's super hard to guard. He's a rebounding machine. He has a nose for the ball. You know, and when he does get the ball, he's able to finish with contact, a lot of and ones. You know, I was more athletic. I was a little bit quicker laterally, especially on defense. I could always guard the other team's best player. And he can do that sometimes because of his size, but I think I was more athletic jumping-wise, and I was probably a better shooter. But, you know, he was a better point guard. Towards the end of my career, I actually did play quite a bit of point guard in Europe. I should have done that earlier. But, yeah, there's a lot of similarities. I think he's going to have a real opportunity to play because he knows how to play the game well, whether it's rebounding or leading the team or knowing how to score or when to get rebounds. He really needs to get a little bit quicker, especially laterally, and then even up and down the court, pushing the ball, being able to finish at the rim. But his number one thing he's got to work on to play in the league and to make money playing this game is you got to be a knockdown shooter. I mean, if he's open five times, you got to be able to hit four shots. And as you increase in the level, whether it's college and professionally, whether it's NBA or Europe, I mean, if you're open, you've got to be a knockdown shooter. You've got to hit that shot, you know, 60, 70% of the time at least, or else you won't play. And so that's the main area of improvement that he should spend this year. You know, if he worked out, you know, let's do some simple math. If he worked out today through September and he did it four times a week and he did – made 300 shots, you know, that's 120 workouts, making 300 shots a day, making 300 shots, you know, you don't want to count misses, 300 shots. So between now and next year, he could make 36,000 shots. I mean, that's a lot of shots. And that's typical on the professional scale. When I was playing with these guys, Paolo Prigioni, plays for the Knicks, or Jose Calderon, they were making, you know, between 36 and 50,000 shots in the summer. And that's only going one time a day. If you do it twice a day, you know, he could get up 100,000 makes in one summer. So really, the key is the improvement you make in the off season. And a lot of guys think they work hard, because they practice once a day or twice a day, or they go and do agility work and they go in the weight room and stuff. But you really have got to be making 300 shots a day at least, I'd say bare minimum. So hopefully between this year and next year, he's able to go in the gym and make between 30 and 50,000 shots before the beginning of next season, and do it the right way and follow through an arch. And I think he would have a tremendous opportunity to make some money this game. And I think he'd help BYU, be a top 20 team if he was able to do that, because he has that ability. He has all the fundamentals, all the other necessities of knowing how to play the game, and the big body. But if he could add a knockdown shooter type of asset repertoire, man, he'd be really, really, really good.
I've heard some people criticize his release point. Is it more difficult to train someone to change their release point, Travis, or to maybe create him or push him to be more of a jump shot shooter?
You know, I've heard, and everyone has their opinions about that, and there's probably a few different people that are smarter than me with those things. I think as long as you have good arch and you have good follow through, you have good backspin, I think now it just comes down to repetition, and it's so hard because you gotta train your body to do it the same exact way every single time. And that's what Steph Curry or Kyle Korver have achieved. You can tell they've shot so many shots because every single shot they shoot looks the same, and that's really, really, and the release is the same, the arch is the same. And so I don't think it really matters how high he jumps on a shot. I don't think it really matters his release point. A quick release is just as good as a high release in a lot of aspects, especially if you're 6'6". I mean, it's probably not the same if you're 5'6". Probably need to have it a little higher.
Did you make a joke? Is that point at me? Is that directed at me?
Hey, he was listening at 5'9", dog.
I was 5'9" on paper.
Oh, yeah. You might as well just stick to radio. If you're 30,
just hey, I was in the CFL for I was in the CFL for like 4 months.
Travis, man, we appreciate you coming on with us. You know, good luck with all you're doing. You know, eating all that lobster and sitting with your soulmate in the hot tub. I hope the skiing was great this morning. And anything that we can do to help you out with the Sunshine Heroes Foundation, please let us know. We welcome all Cougar fans to visit TravisHanson.com. That's TravisHanson.com to stay up to date on everything that Travis is doing. So, Travis, thank you so much. Let us know if we can do anything for you.
You guys are good people. Thanks for having me on.